You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Hard to believe we only have one more hour from tonight's very special live broadcast from Washington, D.C., where we have been in attendance at the inauguration of President Donald John Trump. And we were there. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool, everybody. James Edwards joined this hour, at least for two more segments, as I have been for the entire night, by my very good friends and fellow patriots, Sean Bergen, and the one and only Sam Bushman, owner of Liberty News Radio Network. And we're all here, and we're having a great time. So we've got a guest coming on the last two segments of the night, so that would be the last half hour. So we got two more segments just to continue our free-flowing free-for-all that we've been having that has been highly enjoyable for me to present. I hope that the audience is enjoying listening as much as we are enjoying bringing it to you with this dynamic of us all being at the same place in person together. That is a rarity. And so we're just going to continue the conversation. I'm going to turn it back over to Sean and Sam, who have both dutifully during commercial breaks. You keep that one, Sean. I'll give this one to Sam. Both dutifully scouring the news during commercial breaks to find interesting and worthy things to talk about. So, Sean, what do you got?
Well, we touched earlier on the fact that the at high noon we saw a transition there in the White House website where all mention of climate change, this global warming propaganda, was scrubbed from the website. But what we failed to mention was that it was replaced with America Energy First. And, you know, for too long we've heard politicians talking about energy independence and freeing ourselves from the Middle East oil cartels. I think we finally have a guy who intends to do it.
Yeah, we have Rick Perry. They say he's squaring in so that he can be grilled by Congress to hopefully be not only nominated but confirmed to be the energy secretary, right?
Yeah, that indeed is true. So, you know, perhaps what we're going to see now is an all-of-the-above energy policy that will include natural gas, coal, clean coal, nuclear power, you know, and not just relegated to
and they'll pursue wind and solar as long as it can stand on its own, which means it'll fail.
You know, I think there's a place for wind and solar, and it has to do with private homes, private businesses, and maybe government buildings. And it's only going to be there to maybe, you know, bolster the energy that's in place. Nobody is going to put a wind sail on their car in order to get to work.
Yeah, you know, one thing we could do, John, one thing we could do, if we could rein in the wasteful spending, if we could rein in the corruption and just all the money that is wasted on so many social programs to the deadbeats, the non-producers. I believe in the Word of God, and the Word of God says he who doesn't work shouldn't eat. Now, I understand there's some extreme circumstances of people who can't work, and we'll rally around people who are in certain situations. But then all this stuff, all this welfare, if we had continued to reach for the stars, you're talking about energy. If we had continued to reach for the stars, as America was doing up until the 1960s when we decided to strive for equality rather than excellence, perhaps we could unlock the power of the stars. Perhaps we could unlock fusion power. But we were talking about this in one of the breaks. One of the last appointments that Trump made to his cabinet was the Secretary of Agriculture. And you might not think that that's a big position, but it is because, as we came to learn from our good friend on the couch here, Bill, that the Secretary of Agriculture has the jurisdiction or the authority over food stamps and how those are allocated and how much money we decide to burn on some of these social justice initiatives. And so maybe if we can pull in some of the waste, we can strive for things that really will benefit all Americans and not just the privileged minorities.
I think we're going to see such a dramatic turnaround in the American economy that those people who fail to make a contribution to society are ultimately going to be shunned and shamed. Right now, it has become, I mean, we're up to 46 million people on food stamps in this country, 95 million people out of the workforce. It's become quite all right for people to try and get by on a part-time job and a government check and working off the books. And we have gone from a nation of makers into a nation of takers. And that's what you get under liberalism, socialism, Marxism, you know, wherever you happen to fall on the continuum there.
On Friday, high noon, Atlas just shrugged is what we're telling you, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you right now, this is interesting. Sam and Kurt had the opportunity to waltz into a, it wasn't a black tie affair, but it was a congressional public meeting scenario for the state of Utah. And so our congressman and a senator was there. We had the opportunity to rub shoulders with, chat with Mike Lee. I got my photo taken with him. So if you guys need proof, media, let's do it. Come on. And all I'm telling you is we had the opportunity to rub shoulders with him, chat with Senator Mike Lee, chat with Congressman Bob Bishop, and I had the chance to chat with Congresswoman, what's her name, Kurt?
Mia Love,
yeah. We had a chance to talk with her, too. And we've got some fascinating initiatives that we're working on. But we actually spent time with these people, nice people, and they are absolutely electrified by Donald Trump's win and success. And they're looking forward to working with him to bring jobs back, working with him to hire American, working with him to buy American, and they're excited about these opportunities. And really, behind the scenes, not counting the manipulated mainstream press, liberal, loony, public display of confusion and anger and an absolute meltdown. Behind the scenes, though, America's fairly unified with this agenda. They won't admit that to you, but I'm telling you, I've talked to no less than several congressmen and senators over this last several days, and every one of them feels the way that I'm describing to you. I'm telling you, behind the scenes, it's not the way it is in the mainstream press. Sean?
Talk about Chapitz real quick.
All right, so I had the chance to talk with Jason Chapitz a little bit, and he is on fire. He's holding really the Clintons to account. He had the opportunity to shake hands with Hillary, and he shook hands, and he said, and by the way, you know what? We love you, Hillary, but we are continuing to investigate. We will not drop this. And I'm just saying kudos to Chapin. We'll see what happens with that. And I'm telling you, good luck, and we need to rally behind him. But I'm telling you, Hillary did not get pardoned. And that was, I mean, the liberals went into orbit over that. But she did not get pardoned. And now the Congress is taking over. They're going to take the heat off the Donald for a little bit. But they're going to create accountability, I'm convinced, James.
Chaffetz even went so far as to put that out on Twitter, that the investigation does, in fact, continue. And for those in the liberal media...
He trolled her totally,
and that investigation will continue. The people... Look, Donald Trump has made it very clear that he plans on carrying out the agenda that he campaigned on. And when people, his constituents, chanted at every rally, lock her up, lock her up, he knows they meant it. And I think we know that that he's going to continue that investigation. If that means he's got to appoint a special prosecutor outside of the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, then I think that's going to happen. But the chapter on that, the book on that has not closed. That is something that I think is going to continue to plague the Clintons. And if there's anything that I think that comes out of this election of Donald Trump, it's that we can finally say goodbye to the Clinton crime syndicate.
Lincoln, Jason Chaffetz posted a screenshot. You were talking about the tweet he put out. It was a screenshot from a television from a television shot of him shaking Hillary Clinton's hand as she was introduced at the inaugural. And he said in the caption of his Twitter post that he said as he was shaking her hand, the investigation's not over. We're back right after this.
Lock her up. Well, my family is a very interesting family because we're what you would call a stable family. My family doesn't smoke or drink because my mother brought me up in a Christian home. I guess that's what kind of has kept me straight because I've always looked up to the Lord.
Every day, an estimated 3,000 teens start smoking.
My parents always taught me, you know, the difference between right and wrong. They always taught me that smoking isn't right because physically it's not good for you, and also mentally it affects you. And they always try to do the right thing because things catch up to you in life sooner or later. I think kids learn behavior patterns from their parents because they're the people that they mostly see. They're the people who we love and respect. So the people who you love the most and respect the most from is who you tend to take things from.
Smoking If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
I think the show's going great, but it's not going half as well as the conversations we're having in the commercial break. I'm telling you, it is just a party-like atmosphere. This is so different and so much better for me than last week was when I was really down and out with an illness. But we've got one more segment. We covered so much ground during the commercial break about what we were going to cover this segment. Without a drop of alcohol. I don't even remember what we were going to talk about.
We were going to talk about what we think Trump is going to be up to in the first days of his administration.
Right.
And then, how that's going to carry through, what kind of momentum he'll have through the first 100 days in office.
We mentioned that, of course, he's taken a few actions in his first hours. Yes, I was going to ask you and Sam to have a discussion about what's on the forecast for this first week, things that we know could be in the hopper for him to take action on. And then, of course, even though we've had the conversation about the first 100 days in the past, it's different now. The clock is running. Go.
Well, there's a sense of urgency now because it's so quickly approaching. And as we saw throughout the transition, Trump is a man who does what he says he's going to do. So I think it's quite likely we could, you know, just in the first few weeks, see the repeal and replacement of Obamacare, which would be tremendous. I think what we're going to see is Trump undoing all or many of the executive orders that Obama put in place. And when he said, I've got a phone and I've got a pen, and I'm going to go around the Congress, what he failed to recognize was that 75% of his presidency could be erased in the first few hours of the Trump presidency.
The fake news phonies failed again. They tried to tell you that it would be virtually impossible for Donald to carry out any of his initiatives. Before is even considered his full first day in office, he's already proven them wrong. Now they're blatantly admitting that he could literally gut and shut down Obamacare single-handedly if Congress doesn't act. All I'm telling you is that he is at it at a breakneck speed, and now they're finally admitting that he can do most of what he's claimed he can do. And Congress is willing to give him the support to get it done, even if he can't do it alone. And so they're wrong, and they lied, and now they're got caught once again.
Well, and the other thing is that we're going to actually get an opportunity to see this unfold before our very eyes, because this guy is clearly a man of action. He's clearly a results-oriented guy. And I think he's going to move at a blinding pace in the first 100 days and accomplish more in his first few months in office than most presidents can get in their first term.
I think you're right. One of the things that I really pray he focuses on is this. The pro-life movement. If we want to accomplish anything in this country, we've got to reject the pro-death policies in America that have murdered 50-plus million of the most innocent among us. If we want God's blessings, if we want the country to be unified, it's going to start with the whole pro-life view. Because, look, the whole purpose for government is to protect life, liberty, and property. And if we don't do that, we're not going to have liberty or property rights either. And so I'm telling you right now, a pro-life stance is what Donald has got to take on. He's already started that movement by rejecting the Planned Parenthood folks. It's called the Mexico policy. He's reversed Barack's abuse of that. And so we're already really seeing some significant goals, but we've got to focus on pro-life, number one. Number two, we got to really push the audit the Fed bills. We got to really look at auditing the Federal Reserve and create accountability there. Hopefully, he'll do something to reject the IRS. He's already started to dismantle the global warming propaganda lies. He needs to work on jobs initiatives. I want to really see, number one, tariffs at the borders so that we can truly start to level the playing field in a fair kind of way and rejecting the subsidizing and dumping that other company or countries do upon our American companies. He's got to really double down on that. We're going to buy American and we're going to buy American products and make American goods and such. He's got to really make that a key point. Hire Americans is what he calls it. We're going to hire Americans and buy Americans. Thanks, Kurt. And we've got to really focus on, in my mind, locking down the border. You just can't let criminals come into the freest country in the world. You cannot do it.
I want to be sure to work this in, and I think we have plenty of time left to do it. I just want to give a parting shot. We have two more segments, but this is the last segment with Sam and Sean. But we have a couple more minutes before we have to start worrying about the end of this segment. But go ahead and take it, pick it up, Sean.
Well, I think you've laid out a very bold agenda, Sam. And if he does all of those things, he will be viewed as a very successful president just in his first term. But it's very likely we could see all of that happen within the first year to 18 months.
He's got to break ground on the wall, though. That is the thing. That is the one thing above anything else that I think he got elected on. All of the other stuff was good. The Muslim registry, all of the America First rhetoric, his disdain of the media, his contempt for political correctness, all of that resonated with the average American voter, middle class, white voters. But he has got to break ground on the wall. And we're not talking about a chain link fence, some token gesture. I think he's got to get bold on his boldest proposal. And that was it.
There's no doubt about it. That wall is going to be very symbolic for what he laid out in his bold agenda on the campaign trail. And when the American people see that wall actually going up, that's when he's going to get a lot of converts. There are a lot of people who are going to sit back and say, you know what, this guy's for real.
Yes. Rhetoric's one thing. Theory is one thing. Practice is another. And I tell you, Steve King, a representative out of Iowa, he's got the model. He can show. I mean, not that Trump need. Trump's a builder. He's a developer. But Steve King's got something to look pretty good to me.
Donald Trump has his entire life built. He doesn't just build things. He builds skyscrapers. He puts together entire city skylines. When you talk about building a wall, Donald Trump can build a wall in his sleep. And there is no one in America better qualified to accomplish that than Donald J. Trump.
You know the phrase I think of. If we build it, they won't come.
Hey, that's good. Hey, I want to tell you guys, and this isn't the end of the show, but it's the end of our time with our two esteemed guests this evening. Well, Sean's not really – well, neither of y'all are really guests. Sam's the owner of our network, and he's a frequent guest with us. And, of course, Sean's one of our on-air contributors, regularly on. Sean, normally on when there's a terrorist attack or when Black Lives Matter is acting up. So Sean was very busy last year in his appearances.
This is the first time where all three of us have actually been in the same room working together. And I think that there's a very good synergy here between us. There's
camaraderie.
There's a good chemistry between us. And it was certainly well worth the drive down from New York to be able to join two great American patriots, in addition to Kurt and our esteemed guest on the couch over there. Bill Johnson, really, it's. I'm glad that I came down. I'm glad I could be in Washington for this historic and unprecedented event. And I'm really glad that I could be in Washington with Sam Bushman and James Edwards on the political cesspool.
I am honored that you took the time to drive down here because of your work schedule. You weren't able to be with us all week during the festivities, but you came down just for this broadcast. You got a few other activities tomorrow that brought you in town also. But for you, Sean Bergen, the professional, to come down from New York for this has been our honor, our treat. And this is 3 for 3. You've been with us every show of 2017. Of course, we'd love for you to be with us every Saturday night because you make the show so much better. But, of course, we're all volunteers here, and Saturday night is some pretty prime real estate.
James, one last comment. It's been spreading around the news now that Bill Clinton was licking his chops at Melania. So I'm just saying that was kind of a shot around the world by Twitter. Everybody was going berserk about that.
He probably wasn't the only one.
My response, though, is what do you expect? I just can't help myself.
she looks a little bit better than what Bill's taking home. So, I mean, if we're being candid here.
That'd be a real serious upgrade for Bill Clinton. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, it's a real step up from Paula Jones.
Yeah, you would think as president he'd have better mistresses. I mean, Henry VIII knew how to do it. Could have done a little bit better than that. But alas, Paula Jones, Monica Lewinsky, and we're not gonna go back to the dark days. We're not going to relive all of that. But hey, coming up next in our final half hour of the evening, the incomparable Jared Taylor, editor of American Renaissance Magazine. He was my plus one, I guess you could say, at the inauguration yesterday, and had a great time with Jared. Stayed at his house the last couple of days. He is a gentleman and a scholar, and he's up next to close out our live broadcast from D.C. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Sean. We'll be back with more right after this.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
As it was in the days of decadent late imperial Rome, contemporary professional sports in the United States are a government-subsidized enterprise. Corporate socialism at the municipal and state level is commonplace as owners of sports franchises demand taxpayer support for building and maintaining sports stadiums, often using the threat of moving a beloved team to a different city if those demands aren't met. When Dean Spanos, owner of the San Diego Chargers NFL team, issued that threat, tax victims living in that city didn't blink. As a result, the Chargers are relocating to Los Angeles. They will play at least their first two seasons in a stadium built for that city's Major League Soccer team. Given the oversaturated sports market in that city and the dismal record recently compiled by the Chargers, it is possible that the team might fold or relocate again before getting a stadium of their own. Spanos has demanded the construction of a new $1.2 billion stadium, with the NFL donating roughly one quarter of that cost. Another $250 to $300 million was expected to come from corporate naming rights. This would have left nearly half of the estimated cost to be paid by the city, which is to say by those who would be taxed through the city government. At the end of the day, the Chargers wanted a lot more taxpayer money than we could ever have agreed to, summarized San Diego Mayor Kevin Falconer.
If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to tonight's very special live broadcast from Washington, D.C. This is the Political Cesspool, James Edwards. What a great, fun, festive, celebratory show we've had tonight, but on the air with Bergen and Bushman. I spent, though, the bulk of my time in D.C. With the incomparable Jared Taylor, editor of American Renaissance, and he has posted an article at his website detailing our shared experience yesterday at the Capitol, at the steps of the Capitol, where we watched Donald J. Trump be sworn in as the President of the United States. Jared, thank you so much for your hospitality, your friendship, and all of that other stuff. I've really just had an incredible time hanging out with you this weekend. Are you with us, Jared?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Could you hear me?
Yes, I hear you fine. No, we had a great time on what was a historic occasion.
And you, of course, as I just mentioned, posted the article. Break down the contents of that article for our audience, and I would encourage them to check it out at your website also, amren.com.
Yes, it was just a short article, but I thought it was worth commemorating that remarkable experience that you and I had together.
What were some of the takeaways you had from the event? From the activities that took place before Trump, some of the other speakers and some of the other ceremonies, and then, of course, his inaugural address itself.
Well, I must say, I was miffed by Charles Schumer's talk. I don't know.
I was waiting for you to bring that up.
He was wanting to talk about sacrifice and love of country and what great Americans feel and about their country, and who should he select but a Yankee soldier who died fighting the Confederates. Now, it seems to me that if you want to select from Americans who gave their life for their country, or who showed a real patriotism, why on earth would you want to choose an American who made it his business to try to kill other Americans? That was just completely stupid and an utterly rank insult to every Southerner. There are so many Americans who... Yes?
Well, no, please finish. Please finish, and then I'll chime in.
Well, there are plenty of patriotic Americans who died for America fighting foreigners, not other Americans. I thought that was just the most pathetically tone-deaf selection for a patriot that anyone could possibly have chosen.
Hi, Jared. This is Bill Johnson. I'm listening in. I was sitting in the back, and when Schumer started speaking, throughout his whole speech, there was major booing. He was the only person that was booed.
And there wasn't any of that going on in the press pen, I can tell you that.
Yeah, so his speech did not go over well with any of the Trump supporters.
Jared and I were definitely shuffling in our seats during Schumer. And what was Chuck Schumer doing there speaking immediately before Donald Trump ascended to the podium anyway, under any circumstances, regardless of the content? What was Schumer doing there? But then especially with the speech that he gave, Jared, I don't know if you want to share with the audience exactly what we said to one another during that speech, but it was definitely an odd selection that he would be there at all, and his content was even more of an oddity. Or really just a slap in the face and an affront.
Yes. Yes. Well, you and I, both being Southerners, why he was celebrating this invader, that I just could not stomach or tolerate. I was hugely annoyed by that.
Although it did, the speech did get a little better when he announced that that certain person he was honoring was called home to his eternal reward 1 week into the war. So that made it a little better.
That's right. Well, you know, I don't know if I've ever told you this story. My mom, who was a good Southerner, she spent a year in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and she loved to kind of drive around all these little New England towns. They're very pretty. And all of them have a green right in the middle of the town. And in that green, they have a monument to Yankee soldiers who died trying to invade our country. And she didn't know quite what to make of these memorials until she finally, she established a formula in her mind that gave her peace. She referred to them as monuments to Confederate marksmanship.
I've never heard that before. I actually was up in Portland, Maine for a vacation. I took my wife up to Portland, Maine to see the coast. I guess it was fall of 15. And well, I saw one of those, and you know, we don't have those down in the South, but this is sort of a departure, I guess, from what we're supposed to be talking about. Although I'm certainly glad you brought up the Chuck Schumer address at the inaugural, because that's something certainly that we didn't want to leave off the table. But moving forward to the president himself, as you wrote about, it was quite muscular for an inaugural address, wouldn't you say, Jared?
Well, yes, it was, and in a way,
parts of it anyway.
It was almost a declaration of war against the entire political establishment. He was saying that the United States government has, in effect, been hijacked by special interests who are enriching themselves at the expense of the rest of us. I mean, it's as if he was saying, you know, Barack Obama and George W. Bush and Bill Clinton, all the rest of them, they just don't care about America. They don't. They just care about themselves, that they might as well be a third world kleptocracy. I really, you know, much as I dislike George W. Bush and much as I dislike the Clintons, I really don't think that they have that they're utterly unconcerned about the American people. I think in their own misguided way, they probably think they're doing what's good for the country. And for Donald Trump, basically, to right in the heart of Washington say, this city is just sucking the blood out of you Americans, and this is the day in which Americans get their government back, that's quite a provocation.
Oh, no, I absolutely think so. And then there were some soft spots in Trump's address that I thought, but hey, listen, nobody's perfect. I thought it was overall, I give it realistically A-, in terms of what I was expecting from an inaugural address, which I really just thought it would just be fluff. We're all Americans. I'm here to fight for a man. You know, I just thought it would just be you just basic. He gets up and says a few words, but really says nothing. It wasn't that at all.
No. He went to work on a lot of points. I was very pleased at his emphasis on America first.
Yes. And Bill Kristol was too. Bill Kristol said it is embarrassing that a president could be so offensive as to say America first at his inaugural address. With no joke, that wasn't a joke. It wasn't meant to be ironic. Bill Kristol literally said that.
He said that it's an embarrassment for a president to want to put America first?
For a president to say the words America first in his inaugural address is an embarrassment. That is a direct quote from Bill Kristol.
Why? Why is that an embarrassment?
I guess because he didn't say Israel first. But, Bill?
Well, I just want to say that overall, the presentation at the inauguration took a different tone and a different stance than we've seen in the past. First of all, the prayers. They had a very Christian prayer.
Yeah, the Franklin Graham prayer was in the name of Jesus, and that certainly resonated with me personally.
Right, and then also at the prayer, I guess at the religious ceremony that was done today, they had a Mormon apostle say the prayer, and his prayer was very Christian. And also at the very end of the inauguration, the person who gave the Star Spangled Banner,
yes,
Jackie Evancho, she's saying it straight, a good white girl making a normal presentation. And in the past, you always have these blacks that really put their own soul into it and really chop it up and deform it from what it's meant to be.
I know what you're talking about.
So there is so much of this whole presentation and form that is refreshing because it harkens back to an older era.
Yes, yes, I certainly have to agree with that. And it certainly doesn't mind, it doesn't bother me one bit that there are no Hispanics in the cabinet. It's the whitest, malest cabinet since Ronald Reagan. I find absolutely nothing wrong with that. I think he probably selected the people he thought were going to do the best job. Isn't that refreshing?
Yeah, can you imagine that? So, selecting people based upon whether or not they're the most qualified for the position rather than trying to do a Christmas tree of affirmative action with your appointments to make sure that all of the quotas are met, that he didn't do that. Once again, I've used this term before tonight, but a major shot across the bow. This is a president that actually wants to accomplish things rather than bend the knee in subservience to the false gods of political correctness. We're going to take a break. Last segment of the night with our special guest, Jared Taylor, Bill Johnson, also a very special guest who is sitting in with us tonight and who we weren't expecting, but glad to have with us. And so stay tuned. One more segment from Washington, and then we're heading back to Memphis.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133.
Make a donation today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, as it sometimes happens in live radio, we did a little bit of reshuffling and a little bit of musical chairs tonight. We had originally talked about having Jared on in the second hour. There was a conflict, so we're happy to have Jared on this hour. Ran into Bill in the by the elevators. He is staying at the same hotel as I am this evening. And we did a double take as we passed each other. And then he, of course, asked about the show. And I, of course, welcomed him to come and listen in tonight. And we wanted to put him on for a few minutes in the third hour as well, kind of overlapping with Jared. But that's how that happened. But Jared, of course, the story, the spotlight on you. We did make mention earlier about that Philadelphia Inquirer story that celebrated you. And we've just been talking about the inauguration. Now, any other takeaways? I'm glad you brought up the Schumer address and some other elements of the Trump address. Any other takeaways that you would like to share with the audience that you think are significant?
Yes. I would say that Donald Trump has set himself some tasks that are probably impossible. I mean, he's talking about making America great, bringing jobs back to the United States. He's also talking about eradicating Muslim terrorism. I don't see how he can possibly do that. An American government simply can't do that. You'd have to probably eradicate every Muslim on earth to get rid of Muslim terrorism. That just can't be done. Also, I don't think that, you know, he could put a huge tax on every Chinese imported product. It still is not going to make factories start blossoming in Detroit. He just doesn't seem to get his head around the fact that you can't make America great as he intends to with the kind of population we have. And finally, 100%. Finally, the other aspect of his speech that disappointed me greatly was that he mentioned immigration only in passing. There was a whole list of things we're going to preserve our infrastructure. We're going to preserve our borders. We're going to preserve our dreams. I mean, he just mentions borders in passing in this whole list of things we're going to preserve. Nothing about the wall. Nothing about what we're going to do about illegal immigrants. I was disappointed with that because that, of course, was his real signature issue. That's how he started his campaign. That's the kind of thing that most excited the people who were voting for him. And now we just get the slightest reference to it in his inaugural address. That did disappoint me.
It did, although, again, my expectations were we would get very little in terms of red meat from him during the inaugural address, which is just more of a ceremonial type of address. I really didn't expect we would get as much as we did. And, of course, there were some weak spots, the old tired, worn out, we all bleed red nonsense. Right. And, of course, the bottom line is you can't have a first-world nation with a third-world population, and that's just a matter of fact, and there's no circumventing the laws of nature on that. So there were some weak spots, but overall, as I said, compared to what I thought we would be getting, I didn't think we were going to be getting a campaign stem winder from Donald Trump as we came to love during the campaign. I think that he will probably act on the wall. We were talking about that early in the program. Overall, though, yes, everything you said certainly rings true, Jared. Again, it was just when compared to my expectations of what we could expect during an inaugural, I thought it was, and you said too, a little more muscular than we probably were figuring we would get.
Yeah,
Bill?
Yeah, but James, one thing that you need to realize is that he says as the bottom line, I want to make America great again. And there is indeed only one way to make America great again, and that's restoring the population to what it was when America was great. So when he finds these other approaches don't work, he's going to end up doing it his way, which was the theme of his dance with his wife at the inaugural ball. And so I think that there is real hope that practicality will show through, and when he tries other things that won't work, then he will start moving in a direction that is not just economic nationalism and not just American nationalism, but it's what is embraced by the white nationalism.
Jared, first 100 days, we've been talking about that. Do you expect he's taken some executive orders, done a few things that are pretty stout for the first hours in office with regard to Planned Parenthood and Obamacare. What do you expect this week, this month, first 100 days?
Well, I was hoping that he was going to abolish these unilateral executive amnesties. He certainly hasn't done that. And he had a chance to do that. Yes, he had a chance to do that. Now, so we'll see. In fact, I think at one point, wasn't he promising that his first moments in office, he was going to take care of that stuff?
So there's been some debate as to whether or not his first day in office has occurred yet. Is it officially he calling his first day in office on Monday? I guess we'll find out on Monday. Jared,
I do agree. I just want to say I do agree with Bill Johnson that he is at least a nationalist, and being a nationalist is a first step towards being a racial nationalist, because at least he's saying there are groups that come first. America comes first, damn it. And so he's distinguishing between various populations. And at some point, his ability to distinguish between populations may lead him to realize that there is a particular kind of distinction that made America great to begin with, the racial distinction. And he may get to that eventually. We certainly hope so.
We've certainly got a better chance of that happening with him than anyone else that was ever had a chance of being elected president. So that's the bottom line, and there's no arguing that. And we'll see. Hey, listen. We are not Trump acolytes. When he does things that we appreciate, we will be his biggest cheerleaders. When he does things that are a cause of concern, we'll be loyal opposition. I think that's just the most healthy way anybody can approach any president. When he does things that are good for the country and good for our people, we will be there to back him up. And when he does things that are not, we will be there to offer him some constructive criticism. Jared, I want to transition to this very quickly because we only have a couple of minutes remaining. A lot of emails coming in for you, but I certainly want to give you the opportunity because a couple of them have addressed your next conference. We'll, of course, have you on to talk about that in much greater detail. And I know it's still a ways off, but for some of the people who are asking about that tonight, please take an opportunity, a moment to fill them in.
Oh, well, thank you. The conference is going to be a little bit later this year than it has been in the season. It's going to be July 28th through 30th, and it will be in the same Montgomery Bell State Park in Tennessee, which has really become our home away from home. And we will be making a formal announcement, and registrations will be opening sometime probably early February. But, yes, I welcome all of your listeners to come. We always get a good contingent of your listeners, and I'm always pleased to welcome them to American Renaissance Conferences.
Absolutely, and we want everyone tuned in to be there. I will certainly be there again. Jared has an all-star lineup of speakers coming up again, as he always does, and I will be there to cover it for the political cesspool, and we're looking forward to that. You may even find old Bill there again, as he is known to show up from time to time. Hey, Jared, I know you have a very busy night. It's a special night in your family, but I certainly want to thank you for coming on the very important birthday of Stonewall Jackson.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and I have yet to thank you on the air for having arranged our wonderful seats at the inauguration. I really appreciate your doing that for me.
It's the very least I can do. I appreciate all the support you've given me for many, many years, and hopefully many years to come. And you're a brother, you are a gentleman and a scholar, and you are always welcomed on this show. And thank you so much for your graciousness and hospitality that you've shown me this week as I've been your guest also.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Jared Taylor, everyone. Well, folks, believe it or not, we're at the end of the night. And I just want to thank you from our family to yours for all of the support that we have received. I just mentioned it, 13 years. It'll be 13 years this year. This is our 13th year on the air. Your support makes possible all of the advancements and accomplishments and victories that we've been able to garner because of your support and God's goodwill. We have been able to make a difference and to strike a blow and to serve as an unapologetic voice for our people, for the historic American majority. And we're not going to back down. We're going to continue to do everything we can with the resources we have available to serve as your voice, your eyes, your ears, your representatives on the radio, in the court of public opinion, at events that we think that you deserve to have a representative at, whether it be the RNC or an inauguration. We're going to pick and choose where we're going to go live, and we're going to bring you those reports. I could have mailed it in. I could have watched it on TV like everybody else, but I think there's something special about being where the action is. If we're going to take this country back, if we're going to change things, we have got to put ourselves in the middle of where it's happening. And it's one thing to do it from the studio, as we do most every week, and that's very important. But when you have an opportunity to come and attend something like this in person, I felt as though I owed it to you, our supporters, our audience, to be here as your proxy. And I hope you've enjoyed living through us this weekend as we brought it to you. I want to thank Sean, Sam, Jared, and, of course, our good friend and supporter Bill for being with us tonight. I am hopping the red eye back to Memphis in the morning, and we'll be back in studio next week. God bless you, everybody, and remember to live life the way we do, without retreat, surrender, or apologies. I'm your host, James Edwards. We'll see you next week. Good night.